ABC Radio Australia.
Scientists say new research on coral in Papua New Guinea could provide an insight on the future of the world's reefs. And its findings are worrying, with increased levels of carbon dioxide in the ocean expected to change ocean chemistry, devastating reefs and creating more algae. The study by the Australian Institute of Marine Science focuses on the volcanic reefs of Milne Bay. Its lead researcher is Dr. Katerina Fabricius. She joins us on the line from Queensland. Welcome to Pacific Beat, Doctor.
Good morning.
As we get straight into this, why was Milne Bay chosen for this specific study? Like, what makes it so unique?
Yeah, so I discovered these bubbles of carbon dioxide that they're coming out of the seafloor in Milne Bay almost a quarter of a century ago in 2000, while I was doing biodiversity surveys of the beautiful coral reefs of Milne Bay. And at that time, ocean acidification was not an issue. Scientists didn't know about it. But when it started being taken serious in a concern, I remembered that I saw all these streams of bubble coming out of the seafloor. And we mounted an expedition, and together with the local communities, we were able to then access three different volcanic sites. Basically, the carbon dioxide from the volcanoes is simulating what will happen to our coral reefs as the atmospheric carbon dioxide concentrations are increasing.
Yeah, was this sort of the first time that you had ever witnessed something like this?
Yeah, totally. It's globally unique site. The carbon dioxide, it's a very clean site. It's a very healthy coral reef. It's a lovely communities living around that area. And people have started looking for comparable sites all around the world, but Milne Bay is still by far the leading place where we can do this kind of research.
Now, some of us may be quite familiar with ocean acidification. We know that it's been happening across parts of the Pacific, and Australia. What did this study actually sort of add to scientific knowledge? Was there anything new?
Yeah, we learned lots from that site. In particular, what we wanted to know is what is going to happen when? Because ocean acidification is happening already today, but it's an ongoing process. And what we learned from those sites is that by looking at areas with different CO2 exposure, a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more, how the communities are changing along those gradients. And what we found is there are no particular tipping points. There's not a place where coral reefs cease to exist. But the more CO2 is in the water, the worse it gets for our coral reef communities. We're losing diversity. The fleshy algae are increasing in abundance. And we are losing the capacity of the reefs to recover from disturbances because the little baby corals just don't like it there. So we don't get recovery after bleaching and storm disturbances.
Doctor, is there sort of then maybe, you know, much hope for the Pacific Ocean? I mean, are you saying all corals are likely to be affected by acidification?
No, and that's the good news from that story. So there are a wide range of sensitivities. There are some corals that are quite tough and will exist with no problems throughout the century, whereas others are disappearing more quickly. So we are only looking at ocean acidification in this context. Heat stress is obviously an additional problem that we did not study. Other people have looked at that often, but coral reefs are incredibly resilient in many ways. So we are hoping that some kind of coral reefs will continue to exist, but they will just look very different. And unfortunately, there won't be the same complexity in structure and form that is so important as habitat for all the organisms that are living on coral reefs and that we are liking to use for food. Things like shrimps and crabs and all these little things that are hiding in coral reefs don't find so easily a home if those branching corals are missing.
You touched a little bit, around fleshy algae. I know that's one of the findings, and that was the growth in that. Like, just for our listeners, can you explain what this means for marine life and animals?
Yeah, so algae are plants like on land, but they're using the CO2 for photosynthesis, so they're benefiting from the higher CO2. Whereas corals are building a skeleton made out of basically limestone, and limestone and acid just don't go together, as we know from betelnut and all the. So we are basically predicting that corals are struggling and the algae are proliferating, which means that coastal protection from coral reefs is less likely to be as effective as it is today, because coral reefs won't be growing as fast and they won't be providing the same habitat for all the protein and livelihoods that we are getting from coral reefs.
Yeah, that's fascinating.
So, I mean, basically, yeah, the bottom line is the earlier we are, and we as the Western nations, stopping emitting carbon dioxide, the better it is for the coral reefs.
Mm. What then is the impact, you know, for our Pacific communities, for those especially who rely, you know, on the sea for food and their livelihoods from the ocean?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, unfortunately, coral reefs are one of the most sensitive marine communities to the first ones to suffer from the increasing CO2 emissions. The outlook, there are regional differences, and we don't understand ocean acidification all that well as yet. We don't understand where there are the refuges, where are there additional mechanisms for reefs to cope. So in this case, we just looked at one particular coral reef and looked at relative sensitivities of different organisms. But what we have not got at this stage is a good overview over the spatial patterns throughout the Pacific of which areas are faring better and which are more vulnerable.
Mm.
But you're right. I mean, a lot of people are depending on coral reefs for their livelihoods and for the protein, for food.
Absolutely.
And for coastal shelter, I mean, inundation and so on. So now my call to action really is to the more CO2 emissions we avoid, the better it is.
Mm. If you've just joined us, I'm joined by lead researcher, Dr. Katarina Frobicius. She's joining us from the line on Queensland about this whole increased levels of carbon dioxide in the ocean that's expected to change ocean chemistry and, of course, could possibly devastate reefs and create more algae. Doctor, it's like a chain reaction, right, isn't it? If carbon dioxide absorption and acidification is unchecked, what then again will happen to the ocean?
It's a global issue. Like, I mean, we do have reefs in warmer waters and in cooler waters. Organisms can move to some extent to cooler regions and acclimatize there. For ocean acidification, unfortunately, there's no real escape. And because it's a global issue, it's what's in the atmosphere goes into the ocean, and it's affecting the whole food webs. It's affecting the plankton in the water. It's affecting fish behavior. And it really is a very pervasive type of pollution that we are still not fully understand what all the consequences are.
Yeah, I know, again, this is quite a technical and scientific topic. But again, what's your message to our audience listening in from across the Pacific? You know, like, what key thing would you want them to know?
The main issue is that reefs are under increasing pressure. So what we can do locally in order to reduce pressure, such as preventing the runoff of sediments, the overfishing, destructive fishing, all helps the reefs to fare with all these new and additional challenges. So we can do a lot of stuff locally, maintaining vegetation cover along the shore, preventing big silt plumes coming down our rivers. And so water quality is increasing in importance, and that is an area where we can work on locally. And same with overfishing. Having marine protected areas and healthy fish populations keeps those algae down, those pesky algae that compete with the corals and that are benefiting from the higher CO2. So having healthy marine protected areas, having a good water quality is probably the best we can do at this stage to help our coral reefs.
Doctor, as we wrap up, where can people go for more information on this?
There is some information at the website of the Australian Institute of Marine Science. So if you enter that title of our organization, together with ocean acidification, you come to a website we put together to find additional information.